The Gemara says in Shabbos, on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, it talks about the basic obligation of Ner Chanukah. Ner Ish Ubeiso, which means one candle per household. No matter how many people, you could have a family of 5, 10, 15, 20. It doesn't make a difference. You light one candle per household and you got your mitzvah. And then the Gemara says, I'm a hadrin. You want to do even better, so you light the amount of members per family. So if there are 10 members, you light 10 every night. And the Gemara says, Mahadrin min a Mahadrin. So, according to the Rambam anyway, then we light 80. So it goes 1, again, our case is, there are 10 people living in one in members per household. So based on Ner Ish Ubeiso, you have one candle. Based on Mahadrin, you have 10 candles. So those two don't change, whether it's the first night of Chanukah or the last night. According to Ner Ish Ubeiso, it's one candle every night of Chanukah. According to Mahadrin, it's 10 candles every night of Chanukah. Mahadrin and Mahadrin is where it changes. So it's a Machokes, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai. You go 8 to 1 and 1 to 8. So we'll just stick to Beis Hillel the way we paskin. So we go, so according to the way the Rambam learns the Gemara, so you go from 10 to 80. 10, 20, 30. Mahadrin, Mahadrin, you keep on adding another 10 every night. And you'll end up with 80 candles at the end of Hanukkah. And the Bali Tosfos say that's not the way you learn the Gemara. The Gemara is going back on Ner Ish Ubeiso. It's going back on the original. And therefore, the Bali Tosfos hold is one menorah per household. In other words, if Ner Ish Ubeiso is one candle every night of Hanukkah, Mahadrin is 10 candles every night of Hanukkah. So Mahadrin and Mahadrin is one candle the first night, 2 the second, 3 the third, irrespective of how many people you have in your household. If you're the only one in your household, you have 10 people in your household, you light one menorah, you have one candle, you add one candle every evening. So it's a fundamental debate. What's the ideal way of lighting? Do we end up having 80 candles or do we end up having 8 candles? So what's different this time than normal is usually the Minhag Sfard follows the Rambam and the Minhag Ashkenaz follows the Bali Tosfos. But in this situation, it's the opposite, that the Svardim follow the Bali Tosfos, the Minhag of many Svardi homes is to light one menorah per household, while the Minhag in Ashkenaz home is everyone lights their own menorah. So that's what the Taz points out, that observation. So regardless, so we'll go, we B'nai Ashkenaz, we'll go with the So we go with the Rambam, but it's not completely like the Rambam. We agree with the Rambam the number of candles, but not in the manner of lighting. According to the Rambam, the Baal HaBayis lights all 80 candles. It's a busy night for him. According to B'nai Ashkenaz, according to the Ramah, you have 10 different people lighting 8 candles. Everyone agrees to the 80, meaning within the Shitas. So you have, the Ramah has a little variation on the Rambam. The Rambam holds the head of the household lights all 80, while the Minhag Ashkenaz, every 10 different people light 8 candles. So what's the Nekudas HaMachlokas? What's the issue between the Minhag HaRamah and the Minhag of the Rambam? What's forcing the Rambam to say that one person has to light all 80 candles? Why can't every person light their own 8 candles, or whatever night of Chanukah it is? So there's a famous Beis Halevi, Bris Karov, the Soloveitchik dynasty, based on a Gemara in Shabbos regarding the mitzvah of Milah. The Gemara says, in the 19th perek in Shabbos. The Gemara says it's talking about doing a bris milah. So when you do a bris milah, you got to cut off the foreskin. So the Gemara tells us there are different parts of the foreskin that have to come off to fulfill your mitzvah. And there are other parts where it's hider mitzvah, that we prefer you to get them off, but even if you don't, it's still a good milah. It's just not hider mitzvah. It's what the Gemara calls sitzin hama'akvin versus sitzin she'eino ma'akvin. Sitzin meaning the skin, the strand. So the Gemara says when you're dealing with the sitzin hama'akvin, so clearly if you didn't do them, you did nothing, you got to go back and do the milah. But the Gemara says if you did the sitzin hama'akvin, but you did not do the sitzin she'eino ma'akvin, so kol zman you're involved in the bris milah, as long as you're still being osek, whatever that means, whether we count eating the bagels and lox as part of doing the bris milah or not, we could debate. But whatever is considered part of the bris, so that then you could go back. But once you're posek, once you finish, you can't go back. That's the Gemara. So the question is, why in the world can't I go back? Okay, maybe I don't have to. But if I want to do the Hiddur Mitzvah and go back and do the Tzitzin She'eino Ma'akvin, why would someone say I don't have to go back? So, it's a Machlokas Rishonim. The question is, what day of the week is the Braisa talking about? So I have to tell you, we are in Masechta Shabbos. So the Pashas, many learned is, it's talking about Shabbos. So if it's talking about Shabbos, I follow. In other words, if it happened on Tuesday, you could go back and finish it. Let's say you already finished the bagel and lox, you benched, and then you remember you haven't done the Tzitzin She'eino Ma'akvin, you could go back then and do it. What's the harm? What, there's no Isser, what's the problem? But on Shabbos, when we're talking about it, it's a special pasuk, uvayom ha'shmini imo b'sar alas, uvayom ha'fil b'shabbos, that's only for the milah, but you already finished the milah. Hiddur mitzvah perhaps is not docha Shabbos, and therefore, that's how some learn. So if you learn the Bryce is talking about Shabbos, we understand the Gemara. We understand, it makes sense. But the Rambam, or others I should say, learn the Gemara even during the week. So what's the pshat? Like I understand if it's on Shabbos, why I wouldn't go back if it sits in She'eino Ma'akvin. But if it's Tuesday, why in the world should I not go back for the Hiddur Mitzvah? So the Beis HaLevi has the following chakira. Well, you have a question or an answer?
I can guess why.
Okay.
Because if you're involved in a mitzvah of, what's it called, milah, if you're not involved, you're sort of destroying a skin. You are, injuring the body.
Right, you're saying there's an issur of chavola, so there is a downside. So you're saying even during the week there's a downside, because if you're wrong, then it's chavol. Yeah, but the question, would there be chavol if I'm doing a hiddur mitzvah? Would that take away chavolah? I mean, that could be a debate, but okay, I'm saying it'd be. But you're assuming no. If you assume hiddur mitzvah doesn't overcome the issue, let's assume it's not a problem. So why else?
Okay.
Or the question, it's more, I mean, I'm asking, what you're saying could be true. What I'm asking is, what, in other words, we're assuming if there's a hiddur mitzvah, then it's okay to do it, because that's what the hiddur mitzvah, because else I could say, why do I ever do the Tzitzin She'eino Ma'akvin? It's Chavola. So apparently, for hiddur mitzvah purposes, it appears it's okay. So the question is, is there a hiddur mitzvah later? So in other words, like this. The question is, how do we view Hiddur Mitzvah? Does Hiddur Mitzvah only make sense in the context of the Maisa Mitzvah? When I'm doing the
yes.
Act of Milah, so then once, if I'm involved in the Etzem Mitzvah, so then I can do a Hiddur. Or do I say no? Hita Mitzvah's not limited to when I'm doing the Maisa Mila. Hita Mitzvah even makes sense independently. If I want to go back and do a Hita Mitzvah later, so that's also it's also meaningful.
Yes.
So therefore, to those who say, so according to the ones who say the Brice is talking about Shabbos, we understand why they say you don't go back. Pashtus, you're not machal Shabbos for a Hita Mitzvah. That's not, that's a whole sugya in its own right, because the Gemara seems to
Yes.
say by Karbanos, Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaitza, that even though sometimes you could do for, maybe for a Hiddur Mitzvah you can do it, but let's assume based on our Gemara you can't do it. So therefore it seems to be, our Gemara seems to say for a Hiddur Mitzvah, it's not Docha Shabbos. So what would the other sheet, so why not go back on Tuesday? Because it, the other opinion that says the Brice is talking about during the week. Because they hold, because why? Hiddur Mitzvah only makes sense in the context of the mitzvah. But you can't do a
Yes.
Hiddur Mitzvah in a vacuum independently. So that's the, so that seems to be the issue whether the Brice is talking about Shabbos, and we understand the, why you wouldn't go back, because you're Machal Shabbos for a Hiddur Mitzvah. But according to the opinion, you wouldn't even go back during the week. Apparently, it would be the you Hiddur Mitzvah doesn't make sense, and therefore, if you do go back, you perhaps you violate Chavala, as Jeff's saying, and therefore that's why there is a harm. If there's no harm, maybe you should do it anyway to cover yourself. But there is a harm, definitely a harm to the kid. But a harm in general. So that's the Chakira by Hiddur Mitzvah. So comes along the Briska Rav and says, this is the Machlokas here by Nir Chanukah. It's the Rambam Lishitason. The Rambam's consistent with his view on Hiddur Mitzvah. The Rambam's opinion is Hiddur Mitzvah only makes sense in the context of a Maisa Mitzvah. So therefore, only the one who is involved in the actual mitzvah itself can do the hiddur. You can't just independently do a hiddur later. So therefore, the Rambam says, because we all agree, it's a Gemara, that whatever you light the first candle, that is the mitzvah. The basic mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is you light one candle, that's it, your mitzvah is over. But I mean, your mitzvah is over, meaning if all you lit is one candle every night, you get no one will take away your mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. So we see the Iker mitzvah is the first candle. So the Rambam Shita is, why does the Baal HaBayis have to light all 80? Because the person who lit the first is the only one involved in the Iker mitzvah. The other 79 are Hiddur mitzvah. So you can't do a Hiddur mitzvah independently. That's hence the Baal HaBayis. If you want to light 80 candles, it has to be the Baal HaBayis lighting all. And the Rama seems to disagree and say no. Hiddur mitzvah makes sense independently, and therefore, because the way the Briska Rav is learning, let's assume there are 10 people lighting 8 different menorahs. The way the Briska Rav's learning now is the one who lit first got the basic mitzvah, and then everyone else is doing a Hiddur mitzvah. And the Rama seems to say that Hiddur mitzvah makes sense independently, and even if you yourself were not involved in the Maisa mitzvah, you can do a Hiddur. So that's how the Briska Rav explains why the Rambam, he says it's a issue in Hiddur mitzvah. The Rambam holds Hiddur mitzvah does not make sense independently. Hence, that means by Milo would come out only the per only Bishat. Oh, even during the week, on Monday, once you finish the milah, that's it. You can't go back because you're just doing chavala then, because there is no Indian of hiddur. But the other Rishonim was saying, no, that's a hiddur mitzvah, even on Tuesday, and you can go back and finish the mitzvah. There's no chavala because if a hiddur mitzvah takes away the problem. Chavala means you're doing something for no benefit. If it's a hiddur mitzvah, I'm getting benefit. And, one could make an argument whether Hiddur Mitzvah is enough of a benefit, but be it as it may, that's the Machlokas. So therefore, the Rama seems to. So it comes out according to the Briska Rav, the way his learning is. So if our practice that everyone lights their own menorah it comes out, according to the way the Briska Rav learns the Ramah, is only the head of the household, or I should say, whoever lights first in the house, they're getting the hiddur, they're getting the main mitzvah, and anyone else, therefore, you know, let's say, I'm just thinking aloud now, according to this, let's say, people have different orders. Some, maybe the Baal HaBayis wants to light at the end. Some people light. So here, which, according to this, the Baal HaBayis should light first if he wants to get the Iker, unless he wants to give the Iker Mitzvah. You know, because then the issue is, you know, whether if your five-year-old is lighting, whether, you know, that, number one, is he included in the member? If you have a Katan lighting, that's a separate discussion. Could you be Yotzi? So, therefore, there's reason for the Baal HaBayis to light first, according to this understanding. But others don't like the Briska Rav. They say, like, what do you mean? What do you mean the second, third, and fourth pace a person are only doing Hiddur Mitzvah? They know they're going to light, so they have Kavana not to fulfill the Mitzvah with the Baal HaBayis. In other words, if I know I'm lighting my menorah next, it's not that I'm doing a Hiddur Mitzvah. Very good, you light, and I'm not being Yotzi with you. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to light myself. So people debate the Briska Rav's assumption. Is that true? So that's a major debate among the Achronim. What's pshat in the Ramah? In other words, is according to the Ramah, when the second, third, fourth, fifth person lights, is he only doing a hiddur mitzvah like the Briska Rav seems to assume, at least in the shtickle, whether he paskins that way or not, we can discuss. Or do I say no? Or you can have negative kavana. And therefore, each person is doing the Iker Mitzvah. So what's in the Kudas Machlokas there? Does Kavana play a role? Like, could I have negative Kavana? Does negative Kavana help? Is what I'm asking here. In other words, let me clarify my point. Let's say, you know, someone fills up my gas tank, and that's a big favor today. Thank you, Uncle Joe and Justin, for $1.50 a liter, whatever it is. But that's a separate discussion. But so they point out that, let's say someone fills up my gas tank. I say, I have negative kavana. No, I don't. My kavana is that you didn't fill up my gas tank. Is that meaningful? I mean,
no.
Exactly. It's meaningless. I could have what?
You can't stop somebody saying that somebody, you have negative kavana for somebody else. It's nothing to do with you.
I'm having, that's, it's my car. It has everything to do with me. What do you mean someone filled up my car? I have kavana that I don't want his gas to, so of course it's ridiculous because the gas is there. What do you mean? My kavana doesn't mean anything. Because who cares if I have kavana not to have gas, but the gas is in the car. Let's say I have kavana, this book in front of me doesn't exist. Maybe I have to move to an institute, but I could have my kavana all I want. In other words, negative kavana doesn't help on a reality. So what's the issue here whether negative kavana works? Some say negative, you know, some learn that according to the Ramah, the second and third person has negative kavana, and they light. And clearly, the Rambam doesn't go with that shita. So what's the issue at hand? Whether it's dependent on kavana or not? So it depends on the following issue, chakira, as they say. What is the nature of the mitzvah of Nir Chanukah? Is Nir Chanukah what we call a chovas habayis? In other words, is it like the mitzvah of a mezuzah? There's no mitzvah. In other words, someone who's homeless and doesn't have a house, again, you know, I'm not going to get into, that's a separate discussion we'll get into, but pashtus, anyway, there's no obligation on him to have a mezuzah. Like, if I have a house, then I have to put up a mezuzah, but there's no mitzvah, there's no mitzvah to put a mezuzah in my pocket walking around with one if I don't have a house. It's a choves habayis. It's not. Or do I say no? Chanukah is like tefillin. It's a chovas hagavra. I got to do it. Like the fact that Jeff put on tefillin this morning. I'll have kavanah to be yotzei with Jeff's tefillin. It doesn't help. because it's a chovas hagavra. I got to do the mitzvah myself. So we don't have to do a mitzvah we don't do. There's no shlichus. There's no yatsa. There's no shemeya kaona on a mitzvah shabagufo. On kiddush, the mitzvah is that I, you know, recite kiddush. You have a kiddush or shemeya kaona that tells me hearing is reciting. But we don't say when it revolves like an action of putting something on my body, like tefillin, or like the Tosus Harid points out, or shake. No one says I could shake lulav and esrog for someone else. No one says I could put on tefillin. That's a mitzvah of a gufo. Mitzvahs of amira, or you know, shofar, lulav, you know, shofar, kiddush. So then we have a different concept. You know, we have a concept of shomei hakonas. Either way, getting back. So that's the issue by Ner Chanukah. Is the obligation of Ner Chanukah chovetz habayis mean I have to be in a house? We can discuss if it has to be my house or not. But we have, at least it has to be in a house in order for me to even discuss. Can I light candles? You know, if I'm walking on the street, if I'm homeless on Ner Chanukah, do I have an obligation? So if it's a chovetz habayis, no. However, so coming to this point, everyone agrees you need a bayis. The question is even if you hold it's a chovetz hagavra says when you're in a bayis you have to light. It's supposed to say, you know, so everyone agrees you need a bayis. The question is that the definition of the obligation or no? It's still a personal obligation, but the personal obligation is telling me this obligation applies to you when you're in a home, whatever it is. I'll just say in a home versus your home. That's a separate debate. What you do if you're in another home or you're in a hotel, you know, but we'll leave that out for a moment. So therefore, that is the discussion. So it comes out like this. So we understand the Briska Rav. The Briska Rav says, Kavanan, who cares? Why is the Briska Rav forced to say everyone's doing a hiddur mitzvah? Why doesn't he say, have negative kavana, and then everyone will like, because he holds that Ner Chanukah is a chovetz habayis. So I can't deny a reality. No, I have kavana that this candle lit in this house doesn't exist. So that's a meaningless kavana. You can have all the kavanas you want, but that's not meaning. You can't deny a reality. You know, like, so therefore, what, it's a chovetz habayis. There's an obligation that there should be a candle lit. It's done already. So I don't care what kavani you have. Anything else done after me is a hiddur mitzvah. And hence, according to the Rambam also, but according to the Ramah, apparently the Ramah holds, it's a chovetz hagavra. That it's not a chovetz habayis. You need a bayis, perhaps, but it's a personal obligation. Therefore, if it's my obligation, okay, so I'm not fulfilling it with you, I'm fulfilling it with me, and therefore I'll put up listening to your stuff, but I'm going to do it myself, and that's what I'm going to do, I'll help your pursue me, Nisa, but I'm going to do my own mitzvah. So it seems to come down to whether it's a chovetz habayis or a chovetz hagavra. You follow? That seems to be the issue in terms of whether kavana is meaningful or meaningless, as we say. So, let's just summarize some basic facts that we've said here. So number one is, we said, their issue based, so everyone agrees, one candle per household, that's the mitzvah. Mahadrin is 10 candles per household. Again, the assumption in our case is there are 10 members in the household. If there are 5 members in the household, then obviously the numbers change. So the numbers aren't important, because that will change depending on how many members, but we're going to keep it, I think the Rambam uses 10, but either we'll just keep it 10 for simplicity or for complication, whatever it is, whether maybe it's making it more difficult for you. But my idea is for simplicity. So, and the Mahadran would be either you end up with 8 candles or 80 candles. The Machlok is Rambam Tosfos. Interesting, Svardim and Ashkenaz switch poskim for that holiday. The Svardim seem to go with Tosfos, and we seem to go with the Rambam. But as I pointed out, we don't fully go with the Rambam. We go with the amount of candles, but we don't go with the manner it's done. The Rambam holds the Baal Habayis lights all 80. The Rama says each person lights their own. Again, it's separate. The Rama never writes anywhere that each person should make their own bracha, by the way. But the minhag is to do that way. Everyone, they just assume that, but it's far from simple. But don't change the minhag. I'm not changing the minhag Yisrael. That's what everyone does. I'm just pointing out some achronim question where this minhag comes from. But either way, so to the Rama agrees that to the number of candles, he says everyone lights their own menorah. So the question is, what forced the Rambam to say one person lights all 80, while the Rama said that each person lights their own? So he said it's a din in hiddur mitzvah, that if the Rambam holds that hiddur mitzvah only makes sense in the context of the ma'isa mitzvah, there's a famous Rav Chaim to illustrate this point. Again, we're getting Rav Chaim in, the Beis HaLevi, the Briska Rav. We're getting the Soloveitchik dynasty. It must have been a favorite Torah, the Briskers. So so what does Rav Chaim say? At first glance, when you hear the Shaila, it sounds counterintuitive. The question is, let's say on Sukkot, you have a beautiful Mahudr Esrog. But you know what? It's a Suffolk Murka. Maybe it was grafted. Maybe it's not kosher. But if it is kosher, this is the best. Like the Ushpizin movie with the Esrog. But however, the other Esrog you have in front of you is, it's definitely kosher. Again, but it's not Mahudra. Meaning, let me just point out, every Esrog to be kosher by definition needs to be Mahudra. But when we're talking about Hiddur Mitzvah, we mean taking it to the next step. I don't mean the hiddur is part of the mitzvah. Whatever needs to be done, we're talking about the extra part. So let's say you have a beautiful mahadrim and mahadrim esrog, but you're not sure if it's kosher, and you have a simple esrog, you know it is kosher. So what should you do? Let's assume you're going to do both. Which one should you do first? So some would... What?
The simple one.
Yeah, why?
Because you don't say the mitzvah. There's no question you don't say the mitzvah.
Right, so the simple pshat one would say is, you do the simple one. Correct. But I guess the briskas aren't simple. So the Rav Chaim says the opposite. I agree. What Jeff is saying is the normative. That's what one would think. But the Rav Chaim says the opposite. So why does Rav Chaim say the opposite? Based on what we're talking about, because Rav Chaim's working with the Rambam, that Hiddur Mitzvah only makes sense in the context of the mitzvah. So he says, what happens, according to Jeff's suggestion, it's true you got the mitzvah of Esrog, but you lost out on Hiddur Mitzvah, because the fact you pick up the Mahudra later, it's over. You can't do Hiddur Mitzvah in a vacuum. So I'm not sure what Rav Chaim says about the bracha in terms of, but he says you should pick up the Mahudra one first. So if I'm right, I get the mitzvah and the hiddur. And if I'm wrong, then I pick up the stam one later, and at least I get the... So either he says you make the bracha, you do it quickly, it's not a hefsek. He doesn't necessarily discuss about the bracha part, but let's say you don't make a bracha. Either way, the point is Rav Chaim says that you do the Mahudra, because Rav Chaim's point is, if you don't do the Mahudra one first, you will not be able to fulfill hiddur mitzvah anymore, because the... According to the Rambam, which he tests, others disagree and say, no, it's no problem. We can make, you know, if you don't hold like the Rambam, we do like Jeff says. You make the bracha on the kosher one, and then afterwards, I'll do a hiddur mitzvah independently. So that's what it comes down to. So therefore, the Rambam, which he tests on, hiddur mitzvah only makes sense in the context of the mitzvah. Hence, the Baal HaBayis does it all. And you have to, and you can't do the Sitzin Sheinim Akvin on Tuesday, and therefore you'd have to pick up the Esrog Mahudra first. However, the Ramah holds, no, you can do Hiddur Mitzvah independently, and Araya, therefore everyone lights their own candles. So that Hiddur Mitzvah clearly makes sense in its own right. So others say, no, that's not the Pshat. So the Briska Rav is learning everyone else is doing Hiddur Mitzvah. Others say, what are you talking about? Maybe everyone agrees on the Hiddur Mitzvah aspect. But the Ramah says everyone lights on their own because they're having negative Kavanah. I'm doing the Mitzvah. I'm not doing the Hiddur Mitzvah. So it's a machlokas how you learn pshat in the Ramah. Is the Ramah saying that everyone's doing the second person lighting is only doing hiddur mitzvah? Oh no, he's doing the mitzvah itself. What's the issue? Whether negative kavana works. According to the Rambam, according to the Briska Rav's understanding, that negative kavana won't help you. Hence the Baal HaBayis has to light all 80. But according to the Ramah, negative kavana seems to work. So what's the machlokas between the Ramah and the Rambam, whether negative kavana works or not? So it comes out that a fundamental issue by Nir Chanukah is Nir Chanukah Choves HaBayis, or is it a Choves HaGavra? In other words, is Nir Chanukah like mezuzah? And therefore, only if you own a house am I chayev. So therefore, according to the Briska Rav, like, it's not a kavana issue. I'll have kavana, your mezuzah is not up. Like, I don't care about your kavana. If you walk into a if you own a house and the mezuzahs are up, they're good. Like, what do you mean my kavana is the mezuzah doesn't exist? It does. You can't, if it's a choves, if it's a factual, a kavana doesn't take away of, you know, when the halacha is talking about a reality, your kavana doesn't mean anything. I don't care if your kavana is the mezuzah is not there, but the reality is the mezuzah is there. So your kavana, so therefore the Briska Rav's warning, it's a choves habayis. So who cares what your kavana is? Once the first candle is lit in the house, by definition, the next 79 candles are hiddur mitzvah. And only the Baal HaBayis could do it, because the Rambam says the hiddur has to be connected to the Maisa Mitzvah. And the Ramah either could disagree on that point, or he could agree and then disagree on hiddur mitzvah, or he could say that fundamentally he holds it's a Choves HaGavra. In other words, according to the Briska Rav, it's a hiddur mitzvah machlokas. Others say, no, you don't have to say it's a hiddur mitzvah machlokas. It's a Choves HaBayis versus a Choves HaYochid machlokas. According to the Ramah, it's a personal mitzvah, so I could have kavana. If it's it depends on my kavana. If I don't have a mind to fulfill the mitzvah, then I don't. So therefore, according to the Ramah, each person could go ahead and light their own menorah, and it's not a hiddur mitzvah. They're actually doing everyone's doing their own mitzvah. So those are some fundamental principles we got to know before we begin any conversation on where we lie, what we lie, whether it's a Choves HaBayis, Choves HaGavra. And in fact, interesting, Rav Yitzchak Abadi, he has a Chiddush, he has a lot of Chiddushim, but he has a Chiddush here. He wants to say, so the way we're learning this Machlokas, we're either taking a side, either it was always a Choves HaBayis, or it's always a Choves HaGavra. We just have to decide which one it was. When the Chachamim instituted near Chanukah, it's a machlokas whether they instituted it on the house or on the person. That's the simple way. Comes along Rav Yitzchak Abadi, he's not the only one, but he's the one, you know, he has it in a sefer in other places. He says, perhaps we can make shalom. Well, I'm saying we can make shalom. I don't know if he's saying we can make shalom, but I'm saying maybe we can make shalom between the two shitas, because he's saying Bizman HaGemara, when we lit outside outside the home near the mezuzah, maybe then it was a Choves HaBayis. But once the takana changed that we moved the near Chanukah inside, so maybe as the Gemara says, Meiniach al Shulchano Vidayo. So maybe now it's a Choves HaGavra. So in other words, maybe they're both right. It depends at what point in Jewish. The simple pshat, the way most learn is, it's either one or the other. It's never changed. Rav Abadi is suggesting perhaps it does change, because maybe when they moved it inside, the whole nature of the mitzvah, like, I mean, that's not his chiddush. Tosus already says that when we moved the candles inside, so you could light later, because you're lighting for the B'nai HaBayis. So that's not Rav Abadi's chiddush. That Tosus, but he's extending it based on that Tosus. Maybe you could even say, you know, so Tosus doesn't explain why. He doesn't say, But maybe you could say that's pshat in Tosfos, that maybe it went from Achovas Habayis to Achovas Hagavra. So while it was Achovas Habayis, maybe there's, so then if there's no pursuing Nisa for outside, you can't lie. But once it became Achovas Hagavra, number one, maybe even without pursuing Nisa, or even if maybe there is pursuing Nisa, because whatever you want to get pshat. So it's not, Rabbi Abaye's Chiddush isn't that the mitzvah changed. We all agree to that. He's extending it fundamentally. Not just, in other words, we agree factually, since it's the mitzvah is for inside, so then maybe there are kulas and chumras. I'll just give you a quick one, and we'll have to continue on this year. But let's say there's a halacha, let's say someone's away from their home. Let's say they're in a hotel, out of town, you know. I mean, no one would go away during Chanukah unless they have to, of course, if it's a, you know, it's a business thing, or for other reasons, of course. But so the question, so the different ways to rely on. So, you know, I'll get into the incandescent light. But before that, so some want to say that if you hold it's a Chovas Habayis, so really the halacha is, let's say you somach al Shulchan Aviv. So we'll say loosely you live at home. I'm not saying you necessarily support it or not. Maybe you have your own job, but you're still living at home. You know, like you're not paying. So you so if you somach al Shulchan Aviv, so the simple pshat seems to be that let's say you're not home one night, or you so then or even let's say you're not home at the time they light, but you're even coming home later. I'm not saying you shouldn't light later. I'm just saying I've got to assume it's in. So then, meyikar adin, according to some, you could be yotzei with the layim if you're not there. And that would make sense. If it's a chovas habayis, why do I have to be there? As we said, it's nothing to do with my kavana. I'm a member of that household. I happen to be somewhere else now. But, so therefore, perhaps, for someone who's just go, if the rest of the family is stay, if the whole family is going to the hotel, that's something else. But if the whole family is staying home and you're away, so then perhaps you need to do nothing. By doing nothing, you fulfill your mitzvah. So, you know, so that's the worst case scenario. You're stuck and you can't get a candle. You can't get, so you probably have what to, again, of course, you'd only fulfill perhaps, again, the question whether you'd fulfill Ner Ishu Beis or Mahadrim, but at least you'd get the mitzvah in anyway. Because that's a separate discussion we have to get into, because that's what they say. According to Svardim, it definitely works. So I want to say, since Ashkenaz has Mahadrim and Ahadrin, so therefore they shouldn't rely on it because they're not getting Mahadrim and Ahadrin. You know, I guess the Cholos Abayis only works for the first candle, apparently, not for the whole Mahadrim and Ahadrin. But that's a whole discussion. Let's say someone's learning in yeshiva, you're learning in yeshiva in Israel. Let's say you're learning yeshiva in Lakewood. But, you know, you live at home. I mean, but, you know, you're at the, so then, so what about Hanukkah time? Could you rely on the, you somech al Shulchan Aviv? Do I have to light Hanukkah candles at all? So, Avadji Yosef and others have a famous tshuva that perhaps not. Maybe if you're Svardi, perhaps you can't light, because it's only one menorah per household. You know, we're going to go into all this more. I'm just throwing out the issues. We'll go into it in more detail. Again, but that's the issue. But the issue I'm just pointing out, it, so that'd be a kula. If you're relying, if pashas, if you can fulfill the mitzvah without being there, that seems to lean to a chovas habayis, and therefore that's a kula. On the other hand, let's say you argue it's a chovas hagavra, so on one hand, perhaps maybe that wouldn't help. According to Rav Yitzchak Abadi, that's a chumra. You can't be yotze if you're not there. Like, because if it's a chovas hagavra, so if I'm not there, how could I be yotze? In fact, you made kiddush and I didn't hear it, doesn't help me. I got to be there for kiddush. So, according to Rav Yitzchak Abadi, the chumra would be you'd have to go and light wherever you are, or if you come home that night, perhaps. However, the chumra would be, or the kula would be, that perhaps you don't need your bias, or you don't need, like, your tech. In other words, we can discuss what a bias means. You don't have to be in your own. In other words, Perhaps according to Rav Yitzchak Abadi, if you light in a wedding, or you light in a banquet hall, or if you light certainly in a hotel where you're paying for, but let's say it does, you know, so then, you know, maybe he discusses the issue of not, of how much of a bias do you need? If it's not a chovetz habayis, so what's considered, in other words, he seems to learn it's not so much a bias, it's a mitzvah on the family members. Not so being together. Like, so in other words, if your whole family is at a wedding, again, I'm not saying this is the standard practice, but if your whole family's at a wedding, and okay, so it's, David says anywhere that you need a house, and this is near issue beso. So people learn that means chovetz habayis. He says, no, that, maybe it doesn't mean that. Maybe this means the mitzvah is to lie with your family. So if your family's all, so of course if your family's in a hotel, you can lie in the hotel, assuming there's no fire issues and that, because that's, but he's saying perhaps even at a wedding, if your family have your own table, maybe you could be Yotzei Chanukah. So I'm just pointing out, each shita comes with a kula and a chumra, as always. So therefore, so Mayikar Adin, if you don't, if you assume it's a chovetz habayis, so then someone could be Yotzei. If someone's in a hotel and his family's home, then by merely doing nothing, that perhaps wouldn't be ideal. If you're Ashkenaz, because then you can't fulfill Mahajim and Mahajim. At least you're getting a mitzvah. That's why I recommend, based when Reb Mordechai Green was traveling to Israel many years ago, I guess it came out over Hanukkah, which isn't uncommon. So I was in Hamilton with Rav Chaim Soloveitchik at the time. So he told Rav Chaim to ask his father, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, what should he do? Because the time you get to Israel, it's, oh, you know, you're not going to be able to do the mitzvah. You know, that's the way the time works. You're going to miss it. You'll miss a day. So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said you should take a flashlight. Again, if you want to do a mahajim and a hajim, take as many days. But, you know, at least minimally, since today you certainly can't, maybe at one point you were able, I guess if you're allowed to smoke on a plane, you probably like, maybe they'd let you light a candle, I don't know, 50 years ago, whenever it was. But today, clearly, it's not a good idea, and you'll probably get put in jail. So, you know, for lighting, maybe they think you're burning down the planes. I do not recommend it at all. I strongly oppose it. But so therefore, one should not use the fire at all. And therefore, he said it wasn't that hard when he said it, because this is like, must go back 20 years, whatever it is. He says, use an incandescent light bulb, which you're probably the only ones you could probably find then. They were harder to find other ones, probably. I mean, I don't know, maybe, I'm not sure how long they're with us, fluorescent and LED. So he said, why is it important to find a battery light bulb? Like, why not this electric? Because the halacha is, we paskin hadlaka osa mitzvah. We paskin, it's the lighting of the candle. So in other words, at the time I light the candle or the time I light the oil, there has to be the requisite amount of oil in the candle or the lens. I can't, like, keep on every five, let's say when I light the candle, only 5 minutes of light was allowed, and then I keep on adding oil, that's a no-go. You need at the time you light, you have to have direct, so therefore Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, not just him, I spoke to Rav David Cohn also, and he, independently, he said, like Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said as well, that you should use an incandescent, I pressed him on a fluorescent, he was against that. He said, no, he said, it's not in there. So we got to further debate, but he said, it's an incandescent light bulb, use an incandescent light bulb, flashlight, whatever it is, and they both say even with a bracha, and therefore that's on a plane. See, some would even, I'm not going to get into it now, some might argue a plane's not a, you don't have a private area, so therefore you can't light on a plane, period. Some would say you don't light at all, that's it. But a hotel, that, you know, that would be your bias. The question is, if you don't hold from the battery light, and the hotel doesn't let you light with fire, so then you have to come up with another solution. in terms of in terms of what to do. But that so that's I think Rav Schechter's shita is that if you're flying on a plane, you don't light candles. He says you're exempt because you need a bias and you don't have any private space on a plane. It's sitting next to others. Disagree, but that's depending on then that's assuming you need a bias. You need a chovas. You have to assume it is one. And if you hold it's a chovas agavra, so then maybe it's enough of a bias for a chovas. Because we'll see. Perhaps even some will even say. What do Israeli soldiers do if they're outside? Like the work, they're outside during the night of Hanukkah. Should they not light Hanukkah candles at all? We'll have to get into that. So that's these are some of the many issues in terms of traveling, where you're going to be. We'll have to go in, we'll go into more details on specific, on more particular cases as well, lighting in shul. Lighting in City Hall, lighting at a banquet, lighting outside. Let's say you're on a hiking trip, you're going through the mountains, and it's Hanukkah. Do you light? Do you light? You don't light. All these questions and more we'll have to discuss.